ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hello and welcome to ShareCare Radio. It's Dr. Daria. Remember, everything we talk about today, you can catch it, any of the segments again, at RadioMD's website, iHeartRadio, or even iTunes, where you can download it as a podcast, or follow me on Twitter at Dr. Daria or at ShareCare Inc., and you can find more where we'll link to the information. Now, as always, we're going to dive into the news of the week for our first segment. Our first issue of news is about measles. I know you're probably sick of hearing me talk about it, but it is back. Just as California seems to have gotten their measles outbreak under control, new cases have been popping up in Florida. Over the weekend, health officials confirmed that an unvaccinated 6-year-old girl in St. Lucie County, Florida, has measles. Now, due to her being at school and exposing other children, they're reporting that about 5 unvaccinated students will be kept out of school until early May. In addition, on Sunday, Florida's Department of Health confirmed another 2 cases of measles in 2 unvaccinated adults in Indian River County. It seems that one of them acquired the measles in an international country, brought it back, and then exposed somebody else that they live with, as they live in the same household. Now, remember, we saw this measles outbreak at the beginning of this year, starting in December, actually, and widely due to lack of vaccinations, mostly in California and some other western states. And as I mentioned, on the good news front, this outbreak, which affected 131 Californians since December, has been declared over by the California Department of Public Health. Now, just a reminder, we had some record low cases of measles, which was lowest in 2004 at 37 cases. But we have been climbing since, 648 cases in 2014 and 162 cases so far in 2015. Remember that measles is a highly contagious respiratory disease caused by a virus, can spread through the air, and can live for hours on surfaces or just in the room after someone has coughed. And the symptoms include rash, fever, and coughing, and it can lead to complications such as pneumonia, hepatitis, swelling of the brain, blindness, and rarely even death. The majority of people acquiring measles have been unvaccinated. So the very best way to protect yourself and your family is through vaccination. Children should receive the vaccine when they're 1 year old and a booster at age 4 to 6, and adults born before 1957 are likely immune, but those born between 1957 and 77 may be at risk, especially if you were born between 1957 and 67. So talk to your doctor. Maybe a good idea to just get a booster and keep yourself extra protected. Another piece of news, and that is about e-cigarettes. Now, some of the concerns regarding e-cigarette include exposure to many chemicals in them. Now, all e-cigarettes include nicotine and then either often propylene glycol or glycerol, and they can even have other metals and other compounds. In addition, they often have flavorings added, ranging from cotton candy to bubblegum, chocolate, cherry flavorings. There's really thousands of potential flavorings. Now, the new study focused on those flavorings as well, stating that the levels of flavoring chemicals in some brands exceeded the recommended exposure limits and could actually irritate the respiratory tract or our breathing tract. Now, while the safety is hotly debated, sales for e-cigarettes are hot, $7 billion globally. And manufacturers for e-cigarettes argue that the artificial and other flavorings in them are safe because those are the same that is used in food and candy. However, the U.S. Flavor Extracts Manufacturing Association, otherwise known as FEMA, has pointed out that the safety relates to exposure of these through eating them and not through inhalation. So researchers from British Medical Journal set out to find out the levels and types of chemicals used in about 30 products, and they found that with the products tested, vapors could be exposed to twice the recommended occupational exposure limits of benzaldehyde and vanillin, amongst other chemicals, all of which are primary respiratory irritants. So again, just more information that e-cigarettes, which are often used by people as an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes, still are not a safe thing. Concerningly, again, was another study regarding this, and that was about teen use of e-cigarettes. Now, the CDC reports the percentage of teens using e-cigarettes tripled from 2013 to 2014. 2 million teenagers, that's 13.4% of high school students, used e-cigarettes in 2014. And even worse, it's happening in middle schoolers too, where the e-cigarette use rose from 1% in 2013 to almost 4% in 2014. Now, 1 in 4 teens use tobacco in some form, whether it's pipes, cigarettes, e-cigarettes, hookahs, or even just traditional tobacco cigarettes. And e-cigarettes don't contain tobacco, nor do they contain smoke, but they contain nicotine, and that is addictive and can harm the brain development of young people. That's why 42 states ban the sale of e-cigarettes to minors, but studies have found that they can easily buy them online. So if you're a parent or have any loved ones who are teenagers, still is really worth your time to talk to them and have them avoid the use of e-cigarettes. They are not safe, they're not a toy, and they should be avoided. Some interesting science on pancreatic cancer and a breakthrough. Now, this is a new study from Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute showing that pancreatic cells can be coaxed to potentially revert back to normal cells through use of a special protein called E47. Now, remember, pancreatic cancer is often called a silent cancer because it rarely shows early symptoms and not shown for symptoms until it's late in the stage of the cancer, which is why it has such a poor survival rate. So this is really exciting potential science about helping suppress that pancreatic cancer, so we will look forward to hearing more on it. Now, this other study was on probiotic use. Now, the benefits of gut bacteria and our microbiome are definitely a topic hot in research today. And Lactobacillus rhamnosus is one of the best known helpful microbes used in many popular probiotic products. Now, researchers at the University of Maryland School of Medicine may have an explanation as to why it's so helpful. And they say that it actually acts as a facilitator, modifying the activity of other gut bacteria. So may give the other bacteria a boost. And they say that this may help them create more effective ways to promote a healthy gut. So what's a key takeaway? Now, probiotics have become very popular of late for a host of health conditions, from intestinal problems to allergies. And of the various types, Lactobacillus rhamnosus does have most of the positive data. But before we start using it broadly for a wide range of health conditions, we still really need more large-scale studies. But this is very promising. Now, I want to give everyone a warning out there because there's been a new FDA warning against Trimethyl Extreme. Now, this is a muscle-building supplement, and it contains anabolic steroids. And they've shown that it can lead to liver damage amongst other injuries. So what to look for? If there's any chance that you've been using Trimethyl Extreme for muscle building, or anyone you love has been, look for unexplained fatigue, abdominal or back pain, dark-colored urine. Now, again, these supplements are not regulated by the FDA. It doesn't ensure what's in them, and it does not ensure that they are actually going to follow up on the claims that they say that they can do. So always be very careful with any supplement, especially if it purports to help you with weight loss, bodybuilding, or sexual enhancement. Now, as an ER doctor, this is something that I have seen a lot of in our next article, and I really want to share it, and that's about synthetic marijuana. New York State officials have issued a health alert after a sudden increase in hospital visits for synthetic marijuana-related emergencies. They've had more than 160 patients in 9 days rushed to the hospital for adverse reactions to synthetic cannabinoids, synthetic marijuana, products known as Spice or K2, and they have a lot of different names for these. But those are two of the examples of synthetic cannabinoids. What are these? These are literally chemicals produced to mimic the effect of marijuana. They're often marketed as incense or herbal remedies. And since they're synthetic, it's impossible for the person using them to really know what they're taking into their body. And in fact, the people making them often make a point of changing the formula to avoid any quality controls or oversight. Every year, there are 7,000 cases reported in the U.S. of adverse effects. And while synthetic cannabinoids can mimic the effect of marijuana, they actually can have much higher risk of toxicity with increased heart rate, red eyes, seizures, hallucinations, and other severe effects. Now, synthetic marijuana is really popular amongst teens, so it's really important for parents to know about this. Be very careful to try to keep it out of their teenagers' hands and to avoid tell their own teenagers. There you have it, the top health news you need to know for the week. For more health news throughout the week, follow me on my Twitter handle, at Dr. Daria. You can also follow us at ShareCare Inc. You're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for tuning in and stay well.